You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 164 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Got a good show for everybody today. I'm back from last week. I don't feel sick anymore. Thank goodness, because I was feeling bad there for a couple of days, but I feel a lot better. We got a good show for everybody today, so we're going to jump into it. I would start with the breakdown. Usually, I'll go ahead and read that this breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's, and O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com, O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. But I don't really have anything to talk about, honestly. I was thinking about, you know, maybe talking about USA Rugby failing to qualify for the World Cup, the Eddie Jones stuff. But like part of me is like, I don't know. Do people even care what I think? I think it sucks. I really wish that the USA would have made the World Cup. They had a bunch of chances, came right down to the wire. They tied, so they lost in heartbreaking fashion on a penalty goal as time expired. It sucked. It's just like the worst possible way for it all to end. But I don't know what the next move is. I don't know, you know, if Eddie Jones is the right answer, if Gary Gold, you know, is going to get fired. I would assume that's what's going to happen because the results weren't there. And from what I've read, it sounds like this is kind of up to World Rugby. They're going to provide the money, and then they kind of insert whoever they think would do a good job. I don't hate the idea of Eddie Jones coming. There's been an interesting picture floating around on social from Tony Rinnell, where he had lunch with Eddie Jones and asked him in 30 seconds or less to explain the problems with World Rugby or how he would fix USA Rugby, excuse me. And I thought he had some interesting takes, so it'd be cool to kind of see him put that plan in action. But I don't know. I don't really know what the right answer is. I'm just kind of sitting back, waiting and seeing what's going to happen. And I'm excited for whatever the next chapter is, though, because it's kind of do or die time with the USA hosting the Rugby World Cup here coming up in a couple 9 years, I think it is now. So interesting times to be, you know, involved in rugby, and we're going to keep our eyes on it. But I don't know the right answer, so that's as much as I'm going to talk about it, because I don't know what else to say. So we'll go ahead and jump into all the rugby co-watches we can. And again, to be quite honest with everybody, I'm running a little bit short on time, so I didn't have time to write the top half of this podcast the way I usually do. But we have a really awesome interview with American Raptors hooker Lamar Ray coming up right after this little segment. So that's going to be an awesome part of the show, so stick with me for that. But for all the rugby you can watch this weekend is brought to you by Wintergreen. Wintergreen loves rugby and wants to support USA Rugby's mission of uniting an inclusive, passionate rugby community to grow the sport of rugby in America. Wintergreen gels, creams, sprays, and soaks are made with wintergreen oil and other therapeutic natural oils to help soothe and support sore muscles and joints to keep you at your best. Visit wintergreensport.com to purchase the products you need to help you prepare to win. We've got USA Sevens in action this weekend in Dubai. This will be the 10th tournament for former American Raptor David Still, which is crazy to me. It just feels like yesterday he was playing for the XOs, and now he's in his 10th tournament on the World Series, the Sevens circuit. It's always a mouthful for me to say. We got Allianz Premier 15s in action this week. I believe we have some premiership rolling as well. So lots of rugby to watch. Again, didn't have time to track this all down as I'm trying to get this out on time for everybody. But some rugby to watch. Just got to track it down. And that kind of does it for all the rugby you can watch this weekend. I'm sorry I kind of dropped the ball on that one a little bit, but I'm excited for the interview and the interview with American Raptors hooker Lomar Ray is brought to you by GuardLab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit GuardLab.com. So really enjoyed my conversation with American Raptors hooker Lomar Ray. I say at the start of the interview, and you'll hear him talk through it himself, but I think Lomar has one of the more interesting athletic backgrounds on the team. You know what I'm talking about when we get in there. But another baseball player, this guy played pro baseball. I always like to find the similarities between baseball and rugby. And he's progressing very well in the world of rugby. He's on the older side, like he talks about in the interview as well. He's one of the older guys on the team. I think he's the oldest guy on the team, actually. He's in his early 30s. But he's a great guy. He's taking it serious. And it's fun. I talk about it a lot, but it's fun to see these guys learn the sport and learn to love it the way that everybody else does. It's cool to see it happening in real time. And just, you know, I really enjoyed talking to Lomar, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. So with that, we'll go ahead and kick to my conversation with American Raptors hooker Lomar Ray. All right. Pleased to be joined by American Raptors hooker Lomar Ray. Lomar, how's it going, man?
It's going real well. It's cold here now in Denver, so these mornings have been a little weary, but I'm loving it out here, so it's a good day.
That's good, and that kind of plays into my first question, Lomar. So the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, for sure. This is actually a question that my friends on the team know that I love being asked, but I'm
oh, really? I didn't know this.
Boston. Yeah, I'm born and raised in Boston, Mass, man. So yeah. I have a lot of pride in where I'm from. So I grew up in Boston, lived there for majority, if not all, of my youth. And leading up through college, I stayed in Massachusetts. So Boston has been my home for over 20 years. So I'm very prideful about where I'm from.
I could tell just by following you on social media. I know you're a big Boston sports guy. That's okay. I like that. Like, be proud of where you're from. Be proud of your teams, even if it is Boston, you know, out here. That's a little, we get, you know, the Red
totally
Sox beat
the
Rockies in 07, and then the Broncos had a good little rivalry with the Patriots there for a while. So
for sure.
You're
for
on shaky sure. ground, but no, be proud
understand.
Of where you're from.
I totally understand. And, hey, Todd Helton was one of my favorite players growing up, so. I got no disrespect for any of the teams out here in Colorado. And the first thing I did when I got here was buy myself a Rockies hat because I wear a lot of hats. So,
yes.
I got to show respect.
Yeah,
hey,
I appreciate
too.
That too. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Todd Helton was almost a Red Sox that 07 year. And then they
yes.
ended up playing each other
yes.
in the World Series.
Yep.
Heartbreaker for us. Here. They'll never make it back. The Rockies suck. The Rockies don't even try anymore. So they'll never make it back. So we had a strike while the iron was hot, but. You know, that's how it goes sometimes. So, Lomar, how is the cold? I haven't spent too much time on the East Coast. How does this stack up to an East Coast winter? And we're not even in winter yet, so I guess we're, you know, there's still plenty of time to change your mind.
That's a good point. I would say, so far from my experience, the cold is probably going to be about the same. Mm-hmm. I know we've got the coastline, so depending on where you are in the city, that ocean breeze will come through and knock it down about 10 more degrees. But the daytime here so far in Denver has been like super nice. Like even when it's cold out, when you're in the sun, it's fine. And then at night it drops down obviously, but I'm loving it. This is like home for me about this time of year. So I definitely enjoy it. I've been going outside for runs and I'm cool with it. So
awesome.
This is definitely what I'm used to.
Had you been out here before you moved here?
Never
oh,
been
really?
To the state of Colorado, so this is really cool for me.
Yeah, do you like it?
I love it. It's anytime you get to go live in a new state or live in a different part of the country playing sports, it's like it's an awesome experience. So
yeah,
I'm super excited to be here. Obviously, I won't get into the mountains as much as I'd like to, just to make sure I'm preserving my health, but. I love skiing, so I ski a lot when I'm home in Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine and all that. So it'll definitely be cool to see the mountains at some point, but it's beautiful so far being here.
We got to get you up there, and you're doing a good job, Lomar. I will say, of setting up my next question, so that's a perfect segue into question two.
I love it.
and this is how I was going to start it. So you've got one of the more interesting athletic backgrounds on the team, I'd say. And I know you mentioned playing sports in different parts of the country. So would you mind just kind of taking us through your athletic career? We can start in high school if you'd like, but I'd like to hear about sports you played in high school. And then I know you went on to play some baseball in college and then played some baseball professionally. Yep. And then there's a football introduction in there too. So please feel free to take over.
I will try and give you the abridged version just for sake of time.
Yeah.
My story is super interesting. The first high school, I went to two different high schools. The first high school I went to in Boston was right there in the city, but they didn't have a football team. So my first high school, I played soccer, I played basketball, I played baseball, and then I ended up transferring high schools my junior year to reclassify. Just to go to a little bit more of a competitive level, and ended up switching from soccer over to football when I transferred, and then basketball, baseball as well there. So, I mean, I've always been kind of a sports nut just in terms of how many things I've tried growing up. I mean, I was a competitive swimmer as well while I was entering high school, but you know, you can't do them all.
Right.
What my parents said, you got to have to narrow it down. So I just picked one per season, and that's just how I let it rock. And I got the most, I guess, interest just from a natural talent perspective, I guess, in baseball. So that's where I got the most attention. Basketball was sneaky my favorite sport all through, like middle school, high school. Yeah, basketball.
What position did you play?
I was a shooting guard. I love to shoot. Shooting was, and it's surprising because people see my body type now. I've changed a lot. So
yeah.
When I was in high school, I was a lot slimmer. I was about 215, no more than 215. And I was, I never really grew until after my first junior year. I grew about 5 inches one summer, and it was a crazy experience. But, so basketball kind of took off at those 2 years, but, I ended up getting, you know, a scholarship to play baseball in college. It was partial academic, partial athletic, so it worked out perfectly. And went to Bentley University in Massachusetts, so I stayed home. I had some interest, you know, at different schools like down south. I know the Richmond Spiders were pretty high up there on my list, and it came down to the wire between them, Boston College, and Bentley. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to Bentley, which is a D2 school in Massachusetts, and honestly had a really cool time just developing there with that team, because when I came in, we weren't very competitive. Mm-hmm. And then as I progressed towards senior year, by senior year, we were the number one team in our conference going to that final weekend. So it was a really cool journey to go from being one of the worst teams to one of the best teams over the span of 4 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I played a whole bunch of sports, obviously, in high school, loved every second of it. That's one thing that I think I missed when I got to college, was only playing one sport. Was a very rude awakening for me because I was so used to it.
Yeah.
For so many years. But then, you know, I supplemented it with playing intramurals, and I still kept myself active while I was on campus, even though the coaches probably didn't love it.
But. Yeah. I can imagine they're not too stoked about that.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I think they knew that was my outlet too. And
right.
They knew that I'd be a happier person playing anyway. So I think they let it slide a little bit. But then that's where it kind of led into, I always wanted to be a professional athlete. It's what I always said. Now, if you had asked me, it depended what season I was in. If I was in football season, I wanted to be a professional football player. If I was in basketball season, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. Same for baseball. And so it just happened that as my college experience progressed, you know, I started getting a little bit of interest from scouts. Again, it's a small Division II conference, but we had some very competitive teams that attracted a lot of attention. Franklin Pierce and Southern New Hampshire at that time were two schools that were sending four or five guys to the draft every year. So every time we got to play against them, there were scouts coming to the games. And we opened every season against University of Tampa, who is number one in the nation. So
wow.
there was definitely opportunities to, if you performed, you were going to get noticed. So I ended up signing after my senior year. Didn't go in the draft. Thought I was supposed to. I was on the board and everything, and went through the whole process of having the family sit down and kind of wait for the name to be called. And I sat for all of 50 rounds in that MLB draft. Yeah, 2013. And and sat through every single one and didn't hear the name called. So I was a little bit nervous, obviously, because you spend that long of a time playing a sport and then you feel like maybe this is coming to an end. But then I just kind of stuck with it, just pitched in a semi-professional league that summer while I was trying to train and get ready and hopefully go to some open workouts. But then got a call from an independent league out in Southern Illinois. It was the Frontier League. So that league spanned all across the Midwest, as far north as Traverse City, Michigan, and as far south down as like Florence, Kentucky. Mm. And ended up signing that league that next season. So that was kind of my intro there. All of a sudden I was a professional baseball player. So that was a pretty crazy experience, especially for someone in Boston. You know, obviously the sports markets are huge, but athletes from Boston don't often grow up with the aspiration of being a professional athlete. You know, it's Boston is a very high, you know, academic institution area. And, you know, the medical, and you got Harvard there and you got all these big time schools and everyone's kind of more focused on academics. So you only get a couple athletes that really want to go professional out of there. So that was a really cool experience. And I got to live in the St. Louis area in Southern Illinois, but we were in St. Louis often, travel the whole Midwest. And my dream had at that point kind of taken off and started coming true.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, as we know with sports, nothing's guaranteed and things can happen quickly. So my career in baseball professionally wasn't super long. I only ended up playing two full seasons. That first season was in the Midwest. And then the second season I was started in the Midwest, ended up getting released. And I went out to a new league that was out in the West Coast. So I lived near Seattle for a while and kind of went up and down the Pacific Northwest. So I bounced around for about 2 years and then kind of moved on from that and decided, you know, all right, let's start the next chapter of the journey here. And that's where another aspect of the journey that was kind of crazy is I started coaching. So I actually went back and coached women's basketball at Bentley University about a season and a half. Yeah, no, that's one of my little hidden gems is that I ended up coaching with them. I started off as a practice player just while I was working in the athletic department. I was still training and just didn't really know what I was going to do, but they said, hey, we've got an opening for one of our assistant coaches and we know you love basketball and you've practiced against us while you were at school. Would you have any interest in kind of filling that role and getting an intro level assistant coach job? So I took it. And that was honestly one of the best experiences of my life was coaching basketball. Playing against the girls every day in practice. I'm kind of leading the scout team reps every day. We had about 4, 5, 6 students that would come down for practice every day and we'd play against them. And, you know, that was a team that just came off a national championship. And then actually as a coach got to go to the Sweet 16 with them. So that was like, you know, as we start to progress in this conversation, I know I'm talking a lot now.
No, that's good.
My journey has taken me just to so many different places athletically. And that was one that like I definitely cherish and shout out to the Bentley women's team. I know they just recently got ranked again. They're top 10 in the country, Division II. I mean, the level of success that program has had is ridiculous. And their head coach that recently just retired, just went into the Hall of Fame with Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan. And now her succession has gone to a former player who's already killing it. So shout out to those girls, man. They're super talented and that was a great experience.
That sounds so fun.
And that it's, I'm telling you, you have no idea. Like that was probably at that point I was like, you know, I could be happy just coaching and not playing. And I think I can move on. But that changed pretty quickly because naturally, as my body started getting in a little bit better shape, I was like, man, I'm still an athlete. I gotta keep doing something because I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. So a couple of years later, this was just before COVID hit. It's funny. I was having a conversation with a couple of my roommates and naturally, you know, I watch a lot of football and we're watching an NFL game. We're getting in arguments as we always do. And they're probably at this point sick of me saying, you know, I think I could play on that field. I know I could do that. They're sick of me saying it, but one of them actually challenged me. He was one of my roommates, said, you know what? We know you're a good athlete. We know you said you played professional baseball. We know you were, you know, all state in all these sports, whatever. Why don't you just go do it then? You keep saying you can do it. It's not like, you know, you're clearly not happy. This is after I stopped coaching. Yeah. I was just kind of working a basic job. They're like, you're obviously not happy just working. Like, why don't you just do it? You keep saying it. So I was like, you know what? I accept your challenge. And it started off as a joke. But I really, from that point on, this is about 2019, started taking training seriously again and started just trying to get in shape. It wasn't even necessarily for anything.
Yeah.
And at this point was coaching college baseball, Division III in Boston. Also shout out my guys, Emerson College. The Lions, man, that was a fun group to work with as well. But they were pumped about it. They're like, Coach Ray, we hear you're like into football, playing semi-pro football now. Like, gotta do it, man. You gotta go all the way for us. So right before COVID hit, I just started training my butt off and started making football a dream. Started reaching out to coaches all over the country, working with guys who were already in the NFL, who were just home in Massachusetts, training every day, and started working, running routes with a group. M2 quarterback camp is it's an awesome little group there that they all the best quarterbacks from Massachusetts train, and they bring in receivers and tight ends to run routes for free. We just help out their quarterbacks.
Nice. So
I know I got to hit all my shout outs here.
No, so that's fine. Please do.
Yeah. Shout out M2 QB Academy, man.
That's there. A good story.
That dude, Mike McCarthy, man, he's one of the best in the business. He's trained some absolute studs, some guys that you're watching on TV now he's worked with. So I started training there, running routes, getting in shape, met with my one of my best friends, Nate Witowski, who runs a gym out of Boston, Warrior Fitness. And he got in the lab with me and just worked with me for years, 2 years it took to get into the shape that I wanted to before I went to any open workouts. And then I went out to a workout in Texas for the Frisco Fighters. Didn't end up signing there, but my name kind of got out there because they were shocked that, you know, a retired baseball player was at my size moving that way. So they started putting the word out. And then San Diego Strike Force, man, that was a arena football team that I ended up playing a year with. They reached out and said, hey, you know, we saw that you sent us a message and that you want to play football. We're interested just to see what this story looks like. It's a cool story. Why don't you come out? So flew out to San Diego, went to an open workout that was in early August, and I was signed in October. And so this is about now 2021, right after kind of COVID had just started to loosen its grip. And you know, I know it's a crazy story, but man, all that hard work and believing in yourself and actually putting words into action got me onto an arena football roster. So played that last season with them. And it was, man, when I tell you being 30 years old and starting a sport like arena football was one of the crazy experiences I've gone through physically, mentally, everything. It's like, man, I believed in myself, but you start to feel it a little different when you're taking
right,
those hits.
Right.
You're taking those hits at an advanced age after being, you know, over 10 years removed from football. So, you know, that journey brought me to the West Coast. And then one of the best things happened to me when my roommate at that time, who was the quarterback for the Strike Force, I know you've talked to him before because he's still kicking around with us here. Steve Cluley, man, he introduced me to the sport of rugby. I honestly had no idea what it was. I never watched a full game, nothing. I didn't know any players, any teams. And he just basically said, hey, I've got this opportunity coming up. My buddy Sean Clark, who's also on the team, had told Steve about it, introduced him to it. And then Steve kind of started planting the thought in my ear, like, hey, if this arena, if you're not into it, or if football, you know, at your age isn't becoming a reality, like if you don't think you're going to get to the NFL or to the XFL from here, why don't you just come out with me, do a workout, see if the team likes you. I'll put you in contact with the GM and see if you can get on this rugby team. I think your body type will be good for it. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, as soon as the season ended in San Diego, I drove out here and went to the workout and signed, and I've been here ever since. So I know I gave you the abridged version. It ended up still being kind of long, but that's my journey.
I love it. That's why I wanted. You could tell better than anybody, so I wanted to make sure you hit all the stops. I learned a lot. Because I tried to do my due diligence, Lamar. I tried to do all my research, but there's obviously things 100%. That slip through the cracks. And so I have a few follow-up questions. So first of all, what did your roommates 100%. Say, your former roommates say when you signed this deal with San Diego? I mean, you had to just be like, told you, I did it. Told you I could do it.
It's, you know what, we've had that conversation. He was one of the first ones to congratulate me.
That's
he
good.
Really was. He was genuinely happy. He was being a good friend at that time, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, trust me, in his shoes, I probably would have been annoyed hearing how much I would say, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. So he was one of the first ones to congratulate me. All my friends at home were super pumped. They all reached out, but they also supported. They would buy gear from whatever team I played for. Our last game of the season was in Massachusetts, so everybody who was involved in kind of the Ray Watch journey, they came out to that game in Mass, and it was pretty emotional for me seeing all those guys who heard me from day one say that I was going to do it, and 3 years later, there I was on the field playing against my hometown team. So that was a really emotional but very cool experience. So yeah, he supported me on it. He congratulated me.
That's awesome. And then I'm glad you brought up something else I wanted to touch on, because in my research, I know you mentioned you're running routes. You're listed as a wide receiver, right? Or were you playing like tight end? Because I mean this with all due respect, Lamar. You give me, you know, five guesses, I would not peg you as a wide receiver. But I watched some of your huddle tape, and you do. Yeah. You get in and out of your routes really well. You can catch the ball. I played a little defensive back in my day. So if I played nickel. So if you slid out like you were lining up in that slot and that was my assignment, I'd be like, man, come on. This is about to be a long day.
This is a joke, right?
Yeah. But you did. You move around really well, and you can, like I said, you get in and out of your routes, you catch the ball. But I never would have pegged you as a wide receiver.
No, trust me, I don't blame you. And again, the weight thing too was a big thing. And when I was in high school, I was 215, and I was a lot faster. And I moved like a smaller guy. Now all of a sudden, flash forward 10 years, and I was pushing when I started playing. And that huddle tape, I will say this just for the record, there's a lot of clips that were missed. We didn't film a ton of games.
Yeah, I can see how that would be the case.
So the progression there, like I promise I lost weight and moved a little better than those huddle routes. But I was pushing probably 290 when I started playing football. So now all of a sudden my body's like, what are you doing? You still want to be a receiver running back, but you weigh 290 now. Like your joints and your muscles ain't made for that. So it really took, and that's why I shouted out that M2 group that I was running routes for. Probably if you could see film from when I started to when I end, and I have that actually on my phone, so sometime I'll show it to you.
Yes, next time.
If you saw the transformation, like for how crisp the routes became or how much faster I was moving, how much more efficiently I was moving, it like they really gave me the ability to just go through it and lose the weight and get in better shape cardiovascularly, but also let my muscles start reacting to the weight that I was moving. And over 2 years, all of a sudden I was really ready to play receiver, even though I was still like 280 pounds when I went to that workout.
Wow.
They couldn't believe it. I mean, they couldn't believe it at the workout. They were like, wait, you actually want to run routes? Like, you don't want to play D end or linebacker? I was like, no, I'm running routes. And it's funny, when I started, there was a couple dudes, when I started cooking them, like guys who were playing at big programs, that's when the eyes started turning. Like, wow, this dude is, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 280 pounds out there running routes against cornerbacks, and he's winning. He's winning his reps, you know?
Yes.
So it is crazy. I know that people look at it on paper and they're like, nah, that makes no sense. But I'm one of those weird big guys that can move pretty well.
That's good.
Size.
Wear it as a badge of honor. Obviously, he's working. So
you
keep
got
it up.
To. You got to rep for the big dudes.
So, Lamar, another question I like to ask guys with baseball backgrounds, and it's a little bit out there question, but like I've asked Caleb Geiger this, a couple of the other guys. Okay. I think Hawken played a little bit of baseball.
Yep.
How is baseball like rugby?
I would say as a pitcher, so I played infield in college.
Yeah.
I was a pitcher professionally. Pitching, there's not too many similarities except for maybe the aspect of being a hooker, because I'm, you know, when I'm throwing lineouts,
I
think there's a lot of similarities in terms of the mindset as a pitcher. Obviously you want to throw strikes, you want to be accurate with the ball, but also putting touch on it and changing speeds and things like that. But the pressure of it, right? Like everyone's watching you, you've got the ball and you've got to deliver. So I'd say that's the one comparison I make. And I think it gives me an advantage being someone who had never touched a rugby ball. And 2 months later, I'm in a game against St. Mary's throwing lineouts. Like,
yeah.
It definitely relieves some of that pressure for me, because the nerves, I've already been through that. You know what I mean? I've been in a stadium with 10,000 people staring at me, and if I make a mistake, the dude's hitting the ball 400 feet. So
right.
And that's a tough moment. But other than that, I think the reaction time and the agility and the soft hands necessary, like that an infielder would have, I think definitely translates to rugby. Obviously none of the fitness, man, rugby's a different animal when it comes to that. I don't think any sport can really prepare you for what you're going to go through in rugby. But baseball, I think it's quick hands, I'd say, soft hands, being able to transfer the ball quickly. Whether you're just dishing it off to a teammate or offload or just anything with the passing, I feel like it's pretty similar with the footwork and having to be able to move quickly and react quickly. But it is definitely not a sport I would say would translate at a high correlation. You know what I mean?
Yes, baseball, definitely.
It's pretty unique.
So the reason I ask, and that's a good answer, thank you for those, because that every time I ask this question is a little bit different. And the reason, like, how this started, so, and the people that listen to the show have heard this before, but I don't care because they're listening again, and I'll tell it one more time.
Yeah, we'll hear it again.
Yes. So last summer, when the Olympics were going on, obviously the USA men's sevens team, and the women's, they're playing sevens in the Olympics. So trying to find, and the whole idea of this program, right, is a crossover program. And the media company that we do this podcast through, DNVR, they have all the different, they cover all the Colorado sports, right? So they have, you know, CSU Rams, the Buffs, the Broncos, the Rockies, the Nuggets, the Avalanche. Gotcha. And to kind of like highlight the crossover of the sports and the crossover athletes, and we're trying to spotlight the rugby in the Olympics. I thought it'd be fun to go into it and draft, you know, all-time great Broncos that would have, and make a sevens team out of it, right? So we're drafting seven of our all-time favorite Broncos, you know, based on their skill set, why they would be good rugby players. And when it came time to do the Rockies, and I'm working with the different people that cover the beats, when it came time to do the Rockies, I was kind of like, what's the point of it's even tough. Doing this, right? Like, what's the point? Yeah. There's no real, like you said, on the surface level, there's not a whole lot of crossover, you know, between rugby and baseball. And we ended up doing it instead, and I'm glad we did, because, like, as you think about it, there is kind of, you know, there's some in there, right? Playing infield, it's a lot of, like, the lateral movements. I never thought about the quick, soft hands, like you said. I never thought about, you know, the pressure, like being the only person doing an action, throwing a ball in a lineout like you are pitching. Core strength, obviously, and like hand-eye coordination and stuff. But the more I ask baseball guys that played high-level baseball, the more, you know, the more similarities I'm seeing. So that's the reason I ask, because I do think it's interesting. Like, there's layers to it, and everybody has a different answer. So that's why I ask.
For sure. I would say if I had to pick my best MLB baseball player that would be a really good rugby player, it would have to be Mike Trout. I think that guy's an absolute freak. So I think he would probably translate pretty well.
Yeah, because for every, you know, for every Prince Fielder or something, like, there's guys like that can do it, right? For every Bartolo Colon, there's a Giancarlo Stanton or somebody that could, you know, 100%. Make the switch.
For sure.
And then, Lamar, another question I want to ask, since you have played all these different sports, when you're playing rugby, like, what does it feel like you're playing? And the reason I ask this is because I played soccer, you know, growing up for a while, and I played relatively high level competitive soccer in Colorado, but I also played football for when I was in second grade through high school. And when I played rugby, it always felt more like I was playing soccer than I was playing football, which I think is, you know, for people that aren't familiar, is kind of like a weird answer, because, you know, you're not tackling people, but I don't know if it's just the flow of the game or what, the creativity, I guess, that's involved in playing rugby, but I always felt more like I was playing soccer.
Yeah. I would say, I think you're spot on. I think you're in the right direction of saying, because football, in my opinion, doesn't really transfer all that well.
Yeah.
The way that the game's played, the anaerobic versus aerobic, like, football is one play and you get 30 seconds off. You know what I mean? It's one burst of acceleration. You're going, you're hitting someone as hard as you can, and then you get up and you shake it off and you walk back to the huddle. Soccer, definitely, because of the constant movement of the ball, I think how much you have to keep your shape. You're relying on everyone else's job at the same time throughout the game. It definitely feels more like a soccer match because you're always moving, but also basketball. I honestly do. I tell people all the time, when you're trying to create those 3-on-2s, those 2-on-1s in rugby, it's the same thing as if you're in the court and you're trying to isolate one defender. You're trying to get a fast break versus, you know, a 3-on-2, 2-on-1. And the way that the ball is passed and moved, the touch that's required, reminds me a lot of basketball. So I would say it's like a basketball soccer hybrid for sure. Just because of the finesse of the game along with the contact. Yeah. So like the tackling, that's where football comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that willingness to go up and smack a grown man with no pads on, that at least having that football background definitely took that fear aspect away. Because when you have weaponry like you do with the shoulder pads and the helmet, you can hit people a lot harder than you can in rugby.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely a combination, but the most feel that I got was like a soccer basketball hybrid for sure.
And that's super interesting too, because I never played basketball and I never saw really the, like, how it translates until this crossover program started. Like, I remember being on the field watching the first crossover camp back in November of 2020. And you could really tell, like you said, in those 3-on-2s or some of those drills where you're manipulating space and you know, you're sending the ball around. I'm like, man, this actually does look like a basketball offense. Like, every one of these guys looks like point guards, and the guys with basketball backgrounds that, you know, have played guard and have, you know, ran a basketball offense, like, excel in this. And I never noticed that before, but that's how, like, I could see they could do all this crazy stuff with the rugby ball because they've been playing basketball their whole life. So that's an interesting point too.
Yeah, for sure.
How are you liking rugby so far, Lamar?
You know what? That's a great question, because if you had asked me in different increments over the last few months, like, it would have, the answer would have changed at different points. There's no doubt about it. When I first got here, that first 2 weeks, and I told all the coaches this, you know, when we met at the end of the fall season, man, I didn't know if I was going to survive. I really didn't. I honestly didn't. And that's, you know, part of that comes with age. Obviously, I'm the oldest on the team, which I love, and I embrace every second of it. And it gives me like a little bit of extra energy. Like, you know what? It's cool being the uncle of the team. They all call me Unc. It's great. but at the beginning, I can't lie to you, you know, it was tough. It was tough for me to like it. One, because the whole time I felt like I was drowning out there because I couldn't breathe. I'm at elevation. I've never been through something this difficult before. So just getting through drills and getting through the day was hard enough for me, you know, add on the workouts and things like that. And I know for veteran rugby guys, they're looking at me like, bro, it hasn't even got hard yet. Like, but for me, that's just where I was. And being someone who now rugby I would consider is like my fifth best sport, you know, it's like, that's a tough place at my age to be starting something new like that. Now flash forward to now, I love it. I really do. I think it's an incredible game. I think it requires a lot of different things, that I've had to use in the past. So I it's starting to make sense now. When it all comes together, the shapes, the balance, the communication, those things are starting to make so much more sense that I'm flowing now. I'm starting to at least get that intro level of what it feels like to flow in that sport. Just playing touch the other day, like, I felt the movement and was just genuinely enjoying it, genuinely talking to my teammates, communicating, moving the ball around. My passes are more crisp now. My touch is better. My understanding for what we're trying to accomplish is better. My knowledge for the rules now is much higher. Like, I can watch a game comprehensively, in watching film, but also when I'm rooting my guys on the sideline, I know what's going on. I know what the ref's calling. So I do love it. I think it's a brilliant sport. I understand why so many people are obsessed with it now.
Yeah.
Because it's an ultimate, It's an ultimate just roll around, get your testosterone out, you're tackling people, you're running, you're sliding, you're falling, you're throwing passes. It's just it looks sloppy from someone who doesn't know what the game is until you get to know it and you realize how brilliant it is. And it's a very clean game. And then the camaraderie too, and all of the culture things that come with the sport, I think are brilliant. The fact that you're almost on a battlefield, right? And you're going 15 on 15 against 15 other dudes, and you want to beat the crap out of them on the field. And then after you're hugging and you're having a couple beers together and you're just, you know what I mean? You're talking about the game, but you're getting to know people. And I think that's a cool pageantry that comes with it too. So I'm loving it, to be honest. I do. I got the itch. I've definitely been working hard already this off season to make sure that I get better for the spring. So.
That's awesome, man. There's nothing like it. There's a guy that used to play for the Raptors back when I was in high school. His name is Christian Sarmento. He was a monster. He's like the all-time leading tackler for Northern Colorado's football team. Like, he's just a monster.
Oh wow!
And one of the things I asked him about on this podcast during COVID, when there's nothing going on, and I was like, "Oh, Christian would be an interesting person to talk to." And I looked the other day; the interview's still getting plays, which is interesting to me. But I asked him about rugby. He's played all over the world. He went down to New Zealand. One of the things he said that stuck with me, it's so true. He said, rugby will take you wherever you want to go, and it'll introduce you to good people along the way. And I think, it's cool for me to like guys like you, that I've never played up until a few months ago, and I've already got the chance to experience that, right? Because it's true. I can think of so many times where, like, even up, last year, I've go to Seattle, and I'll meet somebody I met through rugby, and they let me stay at their house for 4 days. Like, that's just super uncommon, and one of the great things about the sport. Something that I've kept in my mind.
I mean, shoot. Again, you look at my entire journey. So starting playing professional sports 12 years ago, I would have never dreamed that I was leaving the country. And then I play a sport, and 2 months later, I'm traveling to Colombia to play against their national team. Like, I'm serious. Like, you can't write a better story. Like, you can't. It's crazy. And, obviously a lot went into that, but it's like an honor, to go represent and go play against a different country's national team and doing it in a sport that I'm not that familiar with. But that just shows you right there, like, what is possible through this sport. And I'm really glad that it's starting to grow the way that it is, because it's starting to blow up a little bit, in my opinion.
It definitely
is. And that's as someone who's not as knowledgeable, right? Like, I'm seeing that it's blowing up. So I can only imagine how excited the rugby veterans are.
Yes, it's awesome. How was Colombia? I have a couple more questions, Lamar. I appreciate your time. I know this is
longer, man. You got me as long as you need.
All right, man. Perfect. So I got a few more for you. But how was Colombia? Got invited. I couldn't go, unfortunately, this year. I went to Uruguay with the team last year. It was a great time.
Gotcha.
How was it?
It was an eye-opening experience from a cultural perspective, but in general, it was just an awesome experience. When people ask me, how was it? My first reaction is just, wow. Like, I mean, Colombia is a beautiful country. The scenery, the landscape, when you're, driving in after you get off the airplane and you just see kind of how it's, Medellin's just built into like a mountain range almost. Like, it was shocking to see. I've only left the country really one other time. So to be in a foreign country where, no one's speaking English, and Spanish is not a language that I ever took in school. I was a French speaker. So, like, I just thought it was beautiful. Uh-huh. I mean, I thought the culture that's there, just from everything, from the food to the music to the atmosphere, it was just like awe-inspiring. I mean, my head was turning every 2 seconds, just like looking at something else that I had never seen before. And just seeing all the people, seeing the level of joy, seeing how happy people are. So that was like the emotional piece from a cultural perspective, was just getting engrossed in someone else's culture, in someone else's home, in someone else's nation, was very cool. And then the rugby aspect, I think it's anytime you can go to another country, not speak the same language as someone and play the same game.
Yeah.
That's one of the cooler experiences you can have. Just because, you're both putting the work in, you're playing the same game. The rules are all the same. It's just, there's maybe a language barrier, but other than that, it was just an incredible experience to go out there and then be playing almost like in a jungle scenery, like a jungle landscape. Like, we were playing Welcome to the Jungle before the game, things like that. Like, it's
yeah
It was, because it really was. We were in like almost like a rainforest jungle type setting, playing a rugby match against the Colombian national team. At the end of the game, the sky opened up and there was a thunderstorm, and like the last 5 minutes was in a downpour. It was awesome. I feel like everyone was elated. Everyone came together. We really got to know each other as people on this trip. You know, we shared meals together. We were around each other all the time. So it was a great experience from top to bottom.
That's awesome, man. It looked fun. It looked really cool. I'm glad that everyone got to experience that. That was really nice.
Absolutely.
Lamar, do you have I like asking this question to guys that have played rugby for a little bit now too. Is like, do you have a moment where it kind of like clicked for you? Like, I know you said at the beginning, you're like, I don't know if I like this, but do you have a moment when it hit you where you're like, man, this is actually really fun? It could be, you know, in your first match, or, you know, maybe like a moment in training or something, but like, do you have a moment like that?
Yes. I think for me, any time that I have like an athletic moment where I get to take off and run, it goes back when I was a kid. I was probably like three years old at this time, just started kind of talking and running and being a goober. But my mom would say that we would be getting close to home, and I would always ask to get let out of the car because I wanted to run the rest of the way home. And she's like, why do you like doing that? And my answer at 3 years old was, when I'm running, I feel powerful. And so like, for me, the first moment that I was involved, I think, and this was in a Water Dogs match early on. It might have been my first or second game. Uh-huh. And I had a line break and just took off and kind of got in the open and got to shake one guy and break a tackle and take off. And I know that that's not like, you know, exclusive to rugby. You can do that in a lot of other sports. But that was the first time that I said, oh, if I get to do this here, no matter, you know, even if the frequency level isn't high, because I know my position doesn't do that a ton, but if I can do this every once in a while, I could see myself liking this sport. So it was early on. Obviously, that one play might have taken me out for the rest of the match because I ran so much, and like, you gotta learn how to pace yourself. But I think that moment was scoring a try. I think there was a moment at Ruggerfest, and I was just a spectator because I came in here with broken ribs, so I wasn't playing for the first portion of the season. And so watching Ruggerfest, I think that was another moment of clarity. Like, this is really, really cool. Watching our guys compete multiple games in a row, the pageantry that went on there, like the culture surrounding rugby. But then I think there was a moment in practice, and it was maybe only a couple weeks ago. It was when I was able to, in the moment, see something I was doing that was wrong, communicate it very quickly, get back into the shape that I was supposed to, hit a tip line, you know what I mean, off of a knot, and deliver a pass and have that person make a line break and be like, okay, all right, like that was a cool moment. Seeing it happen and watching that game slow down a little bit, just enough to make a play like that and make an eye contact with one of the coaches and kind of just giving the quick head nod, like, all right, you're starting to figure this out, kid. You know, that's what I mean? Cool. Like, so I think, there was definitely that moment was the coolest.
Awesome, man. What do these next few weeks look like for you? I know, like you said, you're in the off season now. When does everything get rolling again? And what are you kind of doing over these next couple of weeks?
So I took a strict week off when we got back from Colombia. Didn't do anything. I know my body really well by this point. My body needed it. I just needed a full week to kind of just not do anything, just kind of lay up, whether it's watch movies or play some video games, just chill out. But I've already gotten back. I hit the pool pretty frequently over at Choose Fitness. I use our facility. We started lifting a lot of the guys. Anyone who's here who hasn't gone home for the holidays has been working with a lifting plan and some throwing plans in terms of like ball skills and some micro skills. So for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be really focusing on cardio and getting in shape. More than even what you think you might have to do, you got to do a little bit more. We all got to push each other just to get in the best shape possible, because the league we're going into, cardio is going to be a big thing. If we can match the fitness, I think that'll be a real advantage for us. Mm-hmm. So the cardio aspect, obviously hitting the weight room. For me, hooker throws are going to be huge. I got to get my throws in, get my reps in. That's a major emphasis for me, is trying to lock that down and just be accurate and be consistent and get that motion just like pitching. So I think those are the biggest things these next couple of weeks.
That's awesome, man. I'm excited to keep watching you play. I know I've heard a lot of good things. Talk to some of the coaches.
I appreciate it.
They've been very, you know, they've talked you up quite a bit. So I'm glad I finally got to talk to you, Lamar.
Absolutely. It's
awesome,
been a pleasure,
conversation,
man.
Thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to watching you play in the spring.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I know I probably talked a lot more.
That's
than
all right.
Necessary.
That's okay. That's what it's an audio medium. That's what people download this podcast for. Listen to you talk. So
absolutely.
Don't
I love
apologize.
I appreciate you.
All right.
Seriously, it was an honor being on the show with you. So
thank you so much, man.
I
appreciate it. I'll take you up on that. Thank you, Lamar.
All right. Take care, buddy.
I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with American Raptors hooker Lamar Ray. I appreciate Lamar taking the time to chat with me this morning. It was a good conversation, one of my favorite ones I've had this year, and I talked to a lot of people. So hope everybody enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking to him, and we'll go ahead and move on to the required reading. And required reading is brought to you by Gilbert Rugby. Gilbert is the official rugby equipment supplier of the American Raptors. Visit worldrugbyshop.com to grab all of your Gilbert Rugby gear. This was a piece published by Alex Goff yesterday, the Goff Rugby Report. And it says, Slar to change name, Raptors and BC team to join. And this is kind of goes into the what's going on with the Raptors. What, you know, what's next, what they've kind of been working on for the last year or so. And it kind of lines up to everything I've heard. There was nothing in there that surprised me, really. That's kind of what I've been hearing. And now we're just waiting for it to become official. So we're waiting to see something from Slar, waiting to see something from the Raptors, the new teams that are joining. And it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to see what happens. I know a lot of the players are excited about it as well. So I'll go ahead and link this article in the article that houses this podcast, as well as the description of this podcast. So if you are interested to kind of see what the next move is and what they've been working on, you can click this link and read about it for yourself. It's a good move in the stat of the week. Stat of the week is presented by Catapult. Catapult is committed to making performance technology available to athletes at all levels, whether it's the biggest teams and organizations in world sport or amateur rugby players. Catapult helps monitor performance like the pros. For more information, visit catapultsports.com. So I talked a little bit about Thanksgiving 2 weeks ago. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving now. So we made it through, right? We made it over the hump. Now we're getting into Christmas. But something I've been seeing the last few weeks is about what Thanksgiving does to your heart. So there's an interesting tidbit I found in this article that says one study even found that eating an unusually heavy and rich meal may quadruple an individual's risk of having a heart attack, provided they already have other risk factors like high blood pressure and cholesterol. It's not uncommon for someone to eat 2,000 calories in one single sitting at Thanksgiving, which is the recommended amount of calories for an adult in a day. So make sure you're getting that cardio in. Make sure you keep drinking water, eating your vegetables, because we don't want anyone to have a heart attack from Thanksgiving before you get to Christmas. And this is the hard time of year. This is always the time of year where I feel so gross because you're going to all these Christmas parties, holiday parties, and it just feels like you end up drinking every night. Like, oh, I'll just have one or two drinks at this party, and then it adds up. You're usually not eating the healthiest of food at these parties. And then that's what happens in January when you just feel gross after eating your way and drinking your way through the holiday season. So I'm trying to stay ahead of that a little bit. Jump back on the treadmill this week. Make sure you do that too. So that's my little interesting stat of the week presented by Catapult Sports. We'll go ahead and close the show with The Loop. And The Loop is presented by First Bank. First Bank is the official banking partner of Infinity Park. I'm struggling right now. They believe in banking for good, doing their best to do right by their customers, communities, and employees. Banking for good, member FDIC. Only thing I got to add, please follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and @ColtonStrickler. We're getting close. We had a slow November, but November was a weird month. I was out of town, then I was sick. Didn't have the best showing on the podcast, but we're back. It's going to get better, I promise. And we're going to finish the new year strong. So please follow along. Help us get up to 1,000 followers on Twitter. I think we got like 44 more to go. So toss me a follow. If you don't, I'd really appreciate it. That's the goal. Before New Year's, that's what we need to get to, 1,000 followers. But other than that, that's the show. Thanks so much for listening. Feel a lot better. Be putting out some better podcasts this month. And I appreciate everybody that's been sticking along with me for, you know, however long you've been around. Been here from the beginning. I appreciate it. If you just started listening, I appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll catch everybody back here next Friday. So enjoy all the rugby this weekend, Enjoy your weekend. Hope you had a great week. Catch you all back here next week.